This is the February 22nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 414 for property ID 17663005. The property address is 130 Southeast 192nd Ave, and the property is owned by Columbia Tech Center, LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Joel Klein, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Mary Howells here from the assessor's office and Hannah Evereth here for the appellate. If you could both please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. We won't give you the spiel again because you've already heard it. So go ahead and tell us about this one, Hannah.
All right. Thank you very much. Hopefully we have the correct information here. Please stop me if the information that you have is not coinciding with what I'm presenting here. But as stated, the subject is a PetSmart retail store located in East Vancouver off of 192nd Avenue. Moving along to page two of our analysis, the current assessment is $3,143,200. Our analysis is utilizing the sales comparison approach, indicating a value of $2,766,098. Is that corresponding to what you're seeing?
Yes. Okay. I don't have that. Where are we looking at?
Page two.
I don't have any numbers on those pages.
Oh, it looked like Joel and John see it, correct?
I'm seeing it. Her page two.
Yes.
I don't know if you have an electronic copy. It's page 91 of the document packet that we received.
I do not have that document package.
It will be the behind the petition, it'll be the page that starts with...
Just a minute. I got it.
Cool.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so looks like everybody's on the same page here, quite literally.
Okay.
Okay, so moving along to the next page, we have included our building characteristics. So the subject was constructed in 2006. It has a square footage of 20,087 square feet of building area, and the subject sits on 2.1 acres of land. On pages 4 through 8 of our analysis, we have once again included some visual representations of the property. So we've included the Google map of the subject, also two aerial snapshots of the parcel maps, and some photos of the exterior of the subject and interior retail space. Moving along to page 9 of our analysis, this is the bulk of our approach here. So as stated, we are utilizing the sales comparison approach. We have provided two sales for the board's review here. Sale number one is located on Northeast 4th Plain Road. This sale occurred in October of 2023. The sale price was roughly $2.9 million and sold for $141 per square foot, roughly. Once again, we have made some adjustments to these purchase prices. We have made adjustments based off of building size and building age. So we have adjusted barely anything. The sale number one is very comparable to the subject in size. And is older than the subject, so we have adjusted that sale price upward 6% to account for that. And that indicates an adjusted sale price of $150 against the current subject's assessment of $156 per square foot. Moving along, and that sale number one you can see corresponds to page 11 of our analysis, which is the CoStar reporting where we are pulling this information from. So this was a big five sports goods store that sold. Moving along to sale number two. This sale is located on Northeast 78th Street. This one sold in October of 2022 for $3.3 million. It sold for a baseline price of $108 per square foot, roughly. We have adjusted the size upward 2.1%, as sale number two is larger than the subject by about 10,000 square feet. We have also made an adjustment to the age of about 13.5%, because sale number two was constructed in 1979 and the subject in 2006. So that did need a significant age adjustment as well. Those adjustments indicate an adjusted per square foot sale price for sale number two of $125 per square foot. And what we've done is average those two adjusted sale prices to indicate a value of $137 per square foot, which when applied to the subject's square feet indicates an adjusted sale value of $2,766,098. And if you look on page number 14, this is the CoStar reporting for sale number two. And it looks like this was a larger retail property that was under some retail name called Grover. I'm not sure what it is now. And the rest of the pages include the remainder of the CoStar reporting. And to conclude, on page number 17 of our analysis, we are indicating a value of $2,766,098 based off of the sales comparison approach. And that concludes my presentation.
Is that Big Five still in business? Do you know, Mary? Hannah?
I'm not sure. That whole complex down there on 4th Plain got a whole new facelift, and I'm not sure whether Big Five State, I think they actually did.
I can look and maybe fix up a quick Google search, but I'm not sure how much weight that'll hold in the hearing. If I do a quick Google. Oh, it looks like it's maybe now a Sportsman's Warehouse. So same use, different retailer, it appears.
No, Sportsman's Warehouse has been in that center for a long time.
Oh, has it? Okay.
Yeah,
that's a different center.
Okay. Then the address, maybe. I'm looking around the shopping center. I see the Aaron's Furniture Rental over there still. Oh, no, it looks like the Big Five's still there, just around the corner from where the address was taking me. Next to the Joann Fabrics. It looks like Big Five is still in operation.
Sorry about that. My computer thinks you guys are done and kicked you off. Okay. I have no further questions. John, or
I don't have any questions on it, thank you.
I don't have any questions. I know that Grover's Electric is still there and operating.
Yeah, I know they're still in business.
That's more of a mom and pop. It's not a net lease investment type sale that would compare to the subject property. So I don't know that I would give that one a whole lot of weight.
Did they sell that business, or did they just sell the building?
I think they sold the building, but it's still open. It's still open.
Well, I know it's open. I just didn't know if they sold the building, but that's been in business forever. Okay. So Mary, tell us about this one.
Okay. So this is, I don't know why all of a sudden that popped out of my head. This parcel is in Columbia Tech Center, and it's in the same parking lot as Walmart and Home Depot. So it's in, there's a lot of strip retail and other activity in that center. If you look at the aerial, though, it's got a couple really good anchors, which will certainly separate it out from Rogue's Plumbing in Hazeldale and Big Five on 4th Plain. So I want to start. I did not provide a full report on this. I gave two spreadsheets. And if we can start first with the market sales, I just didn't feel the need to write this one up in a full report. I provide 5 sales that are pertinent to the property. As you go further up in numbers, they become a little less desirable of properties. But my comparables 1, 2, and 3 are certainly very comparable to the subject. They are not older properties except for comparable 5. But most of them are between 2000 and 2008 for a year built, with the subject being 2006. So comparables 1 through 4 are. They are similar size buildings, and except for, again, comparable 5, kind of the same quality, same sort of duck if you're looking at it. Those comparables range from, the comparable sales range from $290 a square foot to 400, well, if you include comparable number 5, you can tell I'm not real happy with that one. That one is $587 a square foot. Comparable number 4 is $438 a square foot. So with our low end of the range being $290 a square foot, the subject is being assessed at $167 a square foot. It's considerably less. The 4 of the 5 sales that I provided, we have a cap rate, a confirmed cap rate on, and that cap rate runs between 5.71 and 7.05, which will be pertinent in my income approach. If you can change to that spreadsheet with my income approach there, I used $1.75 a month per square foot for rent on a triple net lease, which would be standard for the area. Triple net, again, we would be considering 5% vacancy, typical for Cascade Park or Columbia Tech. A generous 10% operating expenses. Most triple net leases are not true triple net. So we bump it up to 10 often just in case there's something we're unsure of. I am using a 7.5 cap rate, which is higher than any of our comparables indicated. And from that, we derive a value of the property for $4,517,000, essentially. And you can see that that's rounded, the land and building split out on there. So between the two, I think between the income approach and the market approach, we're easily supporting the assessed value at $3,143,000 when we look at it as an individual property, a one-off rather than the mass appraisal. We're low on this parcel.
I'm sorry, the two numbers that you're... The total number is $4,500,000, is that right?
No, the assessed value is $3,143,200.
Where do I see that?
You would see it on the top of the market spreadsheet under indicated value, and also as sales price of a subject, which is the assessed value on that spreadsheet.
I guess I don't have that page.
It's the one with all the pictures of the buildings and the dollars per square foot.
Yeah.
So the subject is in the first column. And where it says sales price, there's assessed value.
Okay, right there. $3,143,000. Got it.
Right, and it's at the top of that sheet too. The indicated value. Well, there you go.
Okay, and where's the split out between land and building?
That would be down on the income approach. On the, I'm sorry, on the other the other sheet that I provided right there. So the land value is $1,372,700 or something. If
got it. Okay. Any comments on the appellant's information?
Yeah, if you're ready for me to do that, just kind of quickly, I think Ms. Eveleth sort of pointed out the problems with it. First, I'd like to say it keeps coming up over and over. When you first become an appraiser, the very first class you take, they will tell you, do not average to come up with the value. That's like a huge taboo in the appraisal world. So you need to pick your value, and it's not a mathematical center. I just need to say that one. I keep hearing it. You guys already went through that was sale number two. First of all, the appellant only provides the two sales, and sale number two, Rivers Plumbing is not the building that the subject is. The subject's got these big, tall ceilings, and it's a new build or a newer build, and they're not comparable. Then you look at areas. You're on 78th Street in Hazeldale, or you are in Columbia Tech Center. So one being such an older part of the county, and the other one being the up-and-coming, brand-new, shiny stuff. The big five, comparable number one of the appellants, is a 1994 built on Fourth Plain, which again is a very inferior area, but it's really close to the subject's value. Yeah, it indicates $1 per square foot that I would, if I thought that was a reasonable comp, I would use that comp to support my value. It's just that it's so old and it's not as nice of a building. And the area is not as good. That's all I have.
Okay, anything further, Hannah?
Thank you for the feedback, Mary. Just a note on the averages of values. Just by nature of the way our company does, we're a national practice. We work national properties, and the averaging is part of our template, basically. We ask that the board review our comparables that were provided independently and make a decision based off of those comps, maybe not the average. That's it.
Okay, any questions, John or Joel?
Nope.
No, I don't have any questions on it. Thank you.
Okay, let's close that hearing.
This is the February 22nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 416 for property ID 15490604-0. The property address is 7715 Northeast 119th Place. And the property is owned by KCPRE, LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Joel Klein, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells here for the assessor's office, and we have Hannah Eveleth here for the appellant. If you could please both raise your right hands to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Okay, Hannah, tell us about this one.
Thank you very much. Okay, this is similar to a prior case that we had earlier this morning. This is a KinderCare daycare center located on 119th Place. We are contesting the current valuation of $2,559,600 and are indicating a value of $1,936,951 based off of the cost approach. The subject was constructed in 2001 and has roughly 9,800 square feet of building area and sits on 1.31 acres of land. Once again, we have included some visual representations of the property, including some aerial maps and some exterior and interior photos of the subject for the board's reference. If you'll move along with me to page 12 of our analysis, we have included our cost approach, which is the bulk of our analysis. Again, I think this conversation will be very similar to the hearing that we have already conducted this morning on a similar daycare center in the Vancouver area. But again, we, as representing the client and the ownership rather, feel that the cost approach is an appropriate methodology to value the subject, considering that we believe daycare centers to be unique properties. They are similar to residential properties and have a unique use. So once again, we do believe the cost approach to be a good methodology here. We are considering a C average classification and current and local multipliers based off of the available and corresponding Marshall and Swift data that we have provided. Once again, we are considering an extra features assumption of $100,000, which is an attempt to catch anything that our baseline cost approach may have missed. And we are also considering an entrepreneurial profit of 5%. This indicates a total replacement cost new of $1,531,583 attributable to the current improvement assessment. And then we are also including an adjusted land value based off of land sales that I will go into in further detail shortly. These two values combine to indicate our total indicated cost value of $1,936,951. And pages 13 through 17 include the Marshall and Swift cost data that we are referring to. And then on page 18, we have included the two land sales that we are providing here. On page number 19 is the map. So you can see land sale number one is located very close to the subject, which is annotated with a blue star. And then sale number two is located a bit south of the subject off of Northeast Fourth Plain Boulevard. Moving back to page number 18, land sale number one occurred in January of 2023. This sale occurred at $3.95 per square foot, which is less than the subject's current assessment of $10.70 per square foot. We have made, once again, size adjustments to the land based off of land size. So we have adjusted this upward by 2.5%. which indicates an adjusted per square foot value for the sale of roughly $4.04 per square foot. And number two, this one occurred in August of 2022. This one occurred for $10.33 per square foot, which is, you know, pretty in line with the subject on a value basis. But we have adjusted this downward slightly based off of size, indicating a value of a price of $10.16 per square foot when adjusted. Now, once again, as we have discussed today, our analysis package does average the adjusted per square foot prices to indicate that total land adjusted value. Understanding what has been said before about the procedure of averaging values here, we would indicate that considering the location of sale number one on the land sales, that's likely the most comparable land sale. So we ask that the board considers land sale number one as the best comparable land in this analysis. And then to conclude on page 25, we are requesting a value adjustment downward to $1,936,951 based off of the cost approach. And that's it.
Okay. Any questions? John or Joel?
No.
Joel? Okay. Okay, Mary, go ahead and tell us your view of this.
Okay. In the report here, you'll see the standard information on page 2. I don't believe that we have any discrepancies in our information on the subject property. The location will be on page 3 of the report, and you can see it's just north of the Fred Meyers, across from the old Albertsons complex, sort of in the middle of the orchards area. Pages 4 and 5 are template for Greg's use cap compliance. You'll see on page 6, the bottom of the page, where there are 4 land sales provided. There are the 4 land sales range in value from $12.49 a square foot to $16.62 a square foot. The subject is assessed at $10.69 per square foot. The Greg provides a brief cost approach, but then indicates again, just like we did with the last daycare, that the cost approach is not really given any weight in his report, as we believe that the income approach would be the most reliable indicator of value, and that is what the investor would use in order to purchase the property. On page 8, we provide 4 income comparables, same income comparables that you see through all of our daycare's verified rents, between $23.52 a square foot to $26.04 a square foot on triple net leases. On the bottom of page 8, we have 4 sales where we had enough information to derive a cap rate for those sales, which will be used in the income approach. The cap rate ranging from 5.94 to 7.32. You see on page 9 where we used a capitalization rate on this property of a 7. In the middle of the range, given above on page 8, that was derived from the market. So carrying forward to the income approach, we've been through the form before, but we use $1.42 a square foot for rent with 5% vacancy, 10% operating expenses, the 7 capitalization rate that we discussed before. We derive a market value of $2,115,443 from that from all those calculations above in the income approach. That was as of January 1st, 2020. It was the last time the parcel was physically reappraised. So bringing it forward to 2023, it was given a market adjustment, and Greg puts on his sheet $1,142,442 for the total of $2,559,600.
May I stop you for 1 second and question? On the previous property like this that was valued at $1,120, it had an increase of about, I don't know, maybe 30%. This one's like 80% increase in value. Why in the same period, both valued at $1,120 and then updated to $1,123, and the percentage difference is quite dramatic.
I'm opening the old other report. Let me look real quick. I don't want to misspeak.
That was case 413, and I calculated that increase at 15.7%, and on this one it's 54%. That was a red flag to me as well.
Okay. The first parcel is located in Salmon Creek, and the subject parcel we are looking at in this report is in a completely different cycle. So it can be, it's going to be an accumulation of several things. I can't find my report now. It's not figured.
You said it was in a different cycle. They're both dated 1/1/20.
Hold on. I'll tell you. Hang on. I don't want to misspeak. Okay, 1/5/4/906/40. So the current parcel that we're looking at. The current parcel we're looking at had a value changed by the Board of Equalization in 2020. So that would have carried forward for part of it. And the last time it was physically inspected by our office and reappraised in our annual cycle was March 10th of 2020. Let me go look at the other one, which would have been much later. I've got to find it in here. There we go. It was part of our physical cycle in 2023. So Salmon Creek versus the current one we were on would have last been appraised in 2020. My feeling is Greg used that template for the income approach and forgot to go down there and change the year that it was the latest assessment was on. It happens because we're human.
Okay, when you have an increase of, in this case, 54%, mm-hmm. I would think it's prudent to provide some sort of evidence or at least discussion of the market adjustment and what goes into it other than just a line item because it's so significant. I don't know what's there, what's causing it. And then when you have multiple cases back to back, they're all different.
Right, they're going to be in different, and I agree with you, they're in different cycles. That's why I know we're not supposed to talk about previous hearings, but that's why my previous hearing did not match the assessed value because when I do it, I go into the current year and just create a brand new one. So we can look at what values should be if we were doing a one-off appraisal versus this is showing you how it was done, if that makes sense. So, having a 50% increase in our market in a 2 to 4 year span is not unusual for this period, the post-COVID period that we've had. So I'm not surprised by the adjustment, though you're right, there's nothing in this report that details the adjustment. We certainly would have all that information. We don't do it randomly, but we would have it in our office. Uncomfortable with that adjustment, we can just sort of look at what the sales comparison approach is indicating on this property, and move along. I wouldn't be able to, in the time frame we have, explain the assessor's annual adjustment process.
Okay.
Well, it's not that significant. It just stands out like a sore thumb here, but it's not that significant a increase. When you look at the market value as of 1/1/20 is at 2,115,000, so you end up with a $450,000 increase rather than comparing it to the assessed value at that date.
Right.
It's
really confusing.
It is very confusing, and I'm suggesting that it be basically the market value as computed and then how you get to the market value of this year. But a short explanation in this analysis would be appropriate as to how that number is derived. Because I've questioned this before and not gotten as straight an answer as you've given us, but yours is still not exactly clear.
It is such a 5-year learning curve for our new appraisers, so I wouldn't expect, like, it just said, ta-da, light bulb. But it, I agree with you that a paragraph or two, I personally don't do it because I don't like the explanation. It is very confusing. So we'll move on to the sales comparison approach. And Greg has provided sales of 3 different daycares, all within the time frame. I want to make sure I misquote that. Yeah, they're all within a reasonable time frame of the assessment year being appealed. They indicate a square foot range from $204 a square foot to $376 a square foot. Subject is assessed at 290 a square foot, falling right in the market range.
Okay.
Can I talk to the appellants really quick?
Sure.
Okay. So, again, I lost the page. I have so much open here. Ridiculous. I did not have the numbers that Ms. Evelyn quoted when she was quoting values from page 12. So my numbers completely didn't match her numbers on page 12, but I didn't want to interrupt her.
On the land and improvement.
Oh, well, 12 doesn't work on your sheet. I have a different value than you quoted.
Not the 1.9 million.
Where am I? Oh. Hold on. Half a second. I have so much open. I have to get your report back out here. Okay. Was it page 12? You were reading some numbers, and I don't have them on this report.
Did the board have? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, page 12.
My page 12, what I presented was the, did the board have that information?
Well, repeat the your indicated cost value total.
Well, $1,936,951.
Yes, that's okay. What we have.
Okay. All right. As long as
we're... Yeah, Mary, I'm not sure.
It's okay. That happens all the time, too. I just want to make sure we're talking about the same amounts because...
Okay.
Sometimes so many reports are generated, the wrong one, you know, gets in our basket. Okay, so really quickly, I will talk about, we've given you good land sales. The appellant has given 2 land sales, and she'd like the most weight to be put on comparable number one. Comparable number one, again, is an estate sale to a church. It's been invalidated at the state level. It's not a sale that we would consider a valid market transaction. Sale number 2, we've seen before too, it's a little bit of a residential area, but not a lot of visibility and traffic, but all in all, not a horrible sale. And then in the appellant's cost approach, again, we have the wrong class of building. This is not a Class C building. This is a Class D building. We're starting with the wrong base to begin with. And that thing is, added to the base. Only parts of the cost approach are actually used. There's no perimeter multipliers. There's no wall height multipliers. All of these things add to the cost of a structure. And if you're going to do a pure cost approach, they should be used in that approach. Let me see what else did. I don't think I had anything else on that one.
This, Hannah, this has been discussed in previous years with, I know with Wayne, I don't know if others have been discussed with or not, that there are other cost multipliers that are used in valuing properties by Marshall and Swift, and the county is using all of those cost multipliers in valuing properties, and you might want to consider doing that in these cases. I know we've discussed it before with Wayne. He objects to that. He's using overall cost multiplier because he says it's done in the industry, but you might want to just have that discussion with him or others and see if that should be modified in your procedures.
Okay, noted. Thank you for the feedback. Could I ask a question to Mary about her analysis?
Sure.
So I'm noting on, so this is the evaluation, as we have discussed, is based off of an income approach. I'm noting, so the cap rate support. So this analysis is using a 7% cap rate. I see the income capitalization approach on page 8 with the cap rate support. I noted that this is the same cap rate support that the Salmon Creek property was using, but that analysis was using a 7.5% cap rate. This analysis is using a 7% cap rate. Also, operating expenses on Salmon Creek were 12%, and this is 10%. So much more favorable on a market assumption on the other. I'm just wondering, it's the same support, so where does that come from?
Well, so it is the same support, but it's going to come to the appraiser's judgment based on, I'll make it really simplistic. If I'm buying a property in downtown Seattle, it is probably going to maintain its value with less risk than if I am buying a property in Numaqua. So it could be, I'm not close enough together physically, but all things being the same, If this appears to be less risky of an investment, it's still in our range. We're looking at properties that are quite distanced in the Clark County market. All things are not always the same. So it's the same sort of facility. It's the same sort of, but the location is different. The visibility can be different. The traffic flows can be different. All of those things are going to affect value. So that's what really the appraiser needs to do, is to be able to apply their professional opinion to any property and adjust as long as we're still following the market guidelines. And
okay,
so that's
and then
the differences.
Okay. So I do understand your example of, Seattle to Utica, which are two very different markets. Within the Clark County area, I wonder if 0.5% in a cap rate, which does come out to very, significant market value, if that is warranted in the difference in the Salmon Creek area and this subject. Just wanted to note that. Also, the 2% operating expenses, that should be pretty standard throughout the market. No, for a similar use, triple net assumption.
Right? If we had a formula that would work on all properties, let's say all daycares in Clark County, and we could plug in that formula and just run it across all the daycares, we could get ourselves, let me put it this way, I challenge you to look at Zillow and decide whether or not that is what your house is worth, then look at your neighbor's house. So there is not a one-size-fits-all. That's why we employ appraisers to use their judgment, to use their knowledge, to use their, Greg's been appraising. He's one of our best friends. He's been with the county for 20 some odd years. So he is looking at what he sees with that individual property. So it is not a science, it's more of an art.
Right. Okay, understood. And I just would encourage the board to, note that this is an art, not a science, and with such a large value increase here, is it necessarily warranted, would be the thought I would like to leave the board with on this one.
But I'm not sure what value increase you're referring to. The board upheld the value last year and the year before. I don't know that there was a significant value increase to this property. I'm opening it up to see.
Right. I guess what was the board referring to in our prior discussions? Because I see we were talking about the difference in the value increase percentage.
You're referencing the market adjustment of 54%.
The market adjustment. Okay.
That was in there in the assessor's income approach.
Okay. Right. Okay. So that's not necessarily translating into actual value. Mary, yeah. Am I correct in that assumption? Okay. Okay, understood. Thank you for clarifying.
Well, in that
case.
And
that's all the questions that I have.
In that income approach, the cap rate, the application of the cap rate, whether it's 7 or 7.5, occurs before the assessor applies the market adjustment.
Okay.
I would think the operating expenses would be very similar. You're right. I mean, 2% difference in operating expenses is quite a bit. The half a point, I understand the risk model, but I don't see the risk model between that location and Salmon Creek.
I would flip-flop it. Risk isn't all location. There's a lot of factors that go into risk. And operating expenses can be different based on not only the type of structure, but the size of the structure, the size of the lot that the structure's sitting on. For instance, how much landscaping is there on a particular property? Are we having to maintain a lot of asphalt and this and that? So the appraiser will decide. Again, we have sort of a range we all talk about and work under, but maintaining my house might not cost what maintaining the house next door to me costs. It's not a formula.
Excuse me. Okay, any other questions?
No.
Okay. Close that hearing.
This is the February 22nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 417 for property ID 11433-1012. The property address is 400 Southeast 120th Ave. The property is owned by KCP RE LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Joel Klein, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells here present for the assessor's office and Hannah Eveleth here for the appellant. If you could please both raise your right hands to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in this hearing would be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Okay, as I understand, there's nothing been submitted for this other than the original appeal by the appellant. Do you have any other commentary to make on this?
I do not.
Okay. Do you want to tell us anything, Mary, about this particular property?
If you would like me to, that would be fine. And if you want to skip it, that's fine too, if the appellant has no evidence.
So if you just, I guess, state that your analysis supports the assessed value?
Sure. Yeah, Yes, our market and income analysis supports the 2023 assessed value on the subject property, and it is all in the report provided to the Board of Equalization.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, comments?
No.
Anybody?
No.
Okay, close that hearing.
This is the February 22nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 418 for property ID 10885894. The property address is 16808 Southeast McGillivary Boulevard, and the property is owned by Mahan Ralph D. and Mahan Georgia Trustee. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Joel Klein, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Mary Howells here from the assessor's office, and we have Hannah Evelith here for the appellant. If you could both please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury.
I do.
I do.
Thank you. And by the way, that's McGillivary.
Sorry.
Boulevard.
Sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Hannah, tell us about this property.
Thank you very much. So this is another KinderCare daycare center property located on McGillivary Boulevard. Make sure I say that right. And so I will not take too much time here, as this is very similar to the cases that we have heard today. But I will go through this fairly quickly here. So we are contesting the current valuation of $3,242,400. And we are once again presenting on a cost approach, which indicates a value for the land and improvement combined of $2,228,156. Moving along to page 3 of our analysis, we have some building characteristics here. The subject was built in 1999 with 11,600 square feet and sits on 0.69 acres of land. On pages 4 through 7, we have some visual representations with some parcel aerial maps and the street view of the subject from the exterior. Moving along to page number 8, this is the bulk of our cost analysis here. Same as the other cases that we've gone through today. Once again, we have considered this a C average classification. We are considering an effective year built of 2003 against the actual construction year of 1999. We are also considering extra features of $100,000. Now, again, this is an estimate assumption, and it does attempt to cover anything that our analysis may have missed, i.e. sprinklers or HVAC or any of the other multipliers. But understanding that that is an estimate, we are also including an entrepreneurial profit assumption of 5%. This indicates a total replacement cost new for the improvement of $1,777,059. And then we are also providing some land sales, which indicate an adjusted land value of $451,097, which indicates a combined cost value of $2,228,156. I just want to stop really quick. Mary, are you seeing that allocation correctly? Because I remember there was some confusion on the last one.
Yeah, this one I have.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure. Okay, so then on pages 9 through 13, we have included our Marshall and Swift documentation, where we are pulling that data from. And then on pages 14 and 15, we have included our land sales. So we have a bit more land sales than we had in the prior cases today. We provided 6 different commercial land sales. If you could draw your attention to page number 16, this includes the aerial map of the subject and those associated 6 land sales in the area. As you can see, we have made adjustments to the land sales based off of size, you know, considering the subject's acreage against the comparable properties and their associated land area. So we have adjusted upward and downward across these 6 sales, nothing more than it looks like a 3% roughly adjustment. So all of the associated land comparables are similar in size and all appear to be commercial land sales that did occur. Once again, we are utilizing an average adjusted sale price for the land here. Understand that that is not necessarily the best approach to go off of with average. So, you know, based off of the location of the subject on page 16, it looks like sale comp, land sale comp number one is the closest, which would indicate an adjusted sale price of $13.27 per square foot against the subject's current assessment, land assessment, that is, of $22.77 per square foot. We have included all of the CoStar reporting relative to each of these land sales included from page 17 through page 30. And to conclude, we are requesting a value of $2,228,156 based off of that cost approach. And that concludes my presentation.
Okay. Any questions so far?
No.
No questions. No.
Okay. Mary, you want to tell us about this?
All right. We'll see on page 2 of my report. I believe that both the appellant and the assessor's office are in agreement with basic facts about the structure of the land, the size. The year built on this property is 1999. This daycare sits behind the Fred Meyers and Fisher's Landing, top of 164th. You can see that on the map on page 3. 4 and 5 and 6 are, again, the USPAP information. On page 7, we provide four different land sales close to the subject. And you'll see, you can, Greg didn't provide a map, but you will see by the addresses, comparable number 1 is off of 162nd. Comparable number 2 is going to be down off of 192nd. So you can kind of see they're very close to the subject's area. They are ranging in value from price per square foot of $22.32 a square foot to $34.06 a square foot. The subject property is assessed at $22.76 a square foot. Greg looked at a cost approach, and again, like the other hearings, he did not, he ran a cost approach, but he did not put weight on the cost approach, as he believes the income and the market are going to be the most reliable indicators of value, and that that's how an investor would look at the property for purchase. And as much as I hate to do this one again, here we go. We provide four rent comparables, and the rent comparables are the same that we've seen. So they're running from $23.52 a square foot to $26.04 a square foot on a triple net basis. We have the same sales that drive a cap rate for us from between 5.94 and 7.32. On this particular property, we have used an income approach, or in our income approach, we've used $1.65 a square foot for rent with a 7% vacancy collection. And before you ask, that is 2% more than the 5% you've seen in the prior hearings. Once again, it would have been the appraiser's judgment that they are seeing a higher vacancy rate in this area than in the previous areas that we have talked about. Again, 10% operating expenses and a 7.5 cap rate. Now, before we go too far to the cap rate, Fisher's Landing, Cascade Park, they are in cycle 4 for us. So these are going to be older cap rates that are out. Not that I'm disagreeing with any of the younger cap rates. I'm just giving you another factor on what the appraiser's thinking when they are assigning a cap rate to an income stream. Either way around, still on the high side of our market range for cap rates on this property. We follow the map all the way down to our assessed value as of January 1st, which was $2,435,000, which is below the indicated market income approach value, but not significantly. And then this property had market adjustment applied over the years following its physical revaluation to come up with an assessed value of $3,242,400. So I'm going to quickly move on to the sales comparison approach. Greg has provided three comparable sales of daycare properties. I think they're the same comparable sales we've been seeing. And they ranged in value from $204.20 per square foot to $376.73 per square foot. These are similar structures. They're good comparables. Their market value ranges between $204 a square foot to $376 a square foot. The subject property is assessed at $280 a square foot. So we feel that our land is represented fairly, that our market value is certainly upheld by the market sales of similar properties, and the income approach, though confusing, is certainly valid in supporting the assessment on this property.
Now, if I look at this correctly, the rent used in your income approach, $1.65, equates to a $19.80 per year, and your table says it should range from 23 to 26 a square foot. Now, how did we arrive at a $19.80 a square foot?
It would have been from the 2020 assessment that they used $1.65 a square foot from the last time it was physically inspected.
Got it. Okay. So maybe if I use current rates, I'd eliminate a good portion of that 807 market adjustment.
Theoretically, that's exactly what would happen.
Okay, any other questions?
The only thing I wanted to say was just the same. Oh, unless you have questions on my, I'm sorry, on my.
Go ahead.
The only thing I was going to say is in regards to the appellant's case, again, on the cost analysis, this is not a Class C structure. It's Class D. We're starting with the wrong base rates, not accounting for all of the other elements that should be added into the cost approach and used to correctly apply and derive a valid value. And I think I'll leave it at that.
Okay, is that it? Hannah, did you have something?
No, I am all good.
John and Joel?
No questions.
No questions.
Okay, anything further for the good of the order? Anything else? Okay.
Thanks for everyone's time today.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you.
We'll close that hearing.
This is the February 22nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves Petition 415. For property ID 16263300, the property address is 2410 Northeast 112th Ave, and the property is owned by Pacific Sylvan Park, LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Joel Klein, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells here from the Assessor's Office, and we have Hannah Evelith here on behalf of the appellant. If you could both please raise your right hands to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I didn't hear you, Mary. Yes?
I do.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Hannah, and tell us about this property.
Hannah, I think you're muted.
Oh, you're muted.
Sorry about that. Can everybody hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, great. So thank you. The subject is Sylvan Park, which is a senior living facility located off of 112th Avenue in Vancouver. The subject is currently assessed at $8,847,789. Our analysis includes a sales comparison approach, which is what we are basing our requested value off of, $4,924,538. We have also included the actual income. Now, we understand that in Washington State, actual income does not hold a place in valuation methodology, but because income operations are struggling for the subject property as of the date of value here, we did want to include that information for the board's review to showcase that the subject is not necessarily performing up to potentially market expectations. So we did include an income analysis with the actual income. But again, we are relying on the sales approach for our requested value here. On page number 3 of our analysis, we have included some of the subject's building characteristics. Subject was built in 2013 and includes 55,904 square feet of building area and sits on 2.65 acres of land. Pages 4 through 7 include some visual representations of the property. Once again, we've got the Google Maps and the aerial parcel snapshots to showcase the aerial subject visuals here. And then we've got the exterior property photo as well. On pages 7 through 8 of our analysis, we have included our sales approach. We have included 8 different sales here for the board's review. Once again, as we discussed in the last hearing, I know these are all separate on the record, but we have done an adjusted average approach here, which I know, is a difficult methodology in Washington State. That's just the nature of our analysis templates. But we have also included the adjusted per square foot values of each sale individually. So we ask that the board does utilize that information in their decision-making process. But I will go through these sales. We'll try not to do them one by one. On page 10 shows the map of the subject. Unfortunately, we were not able to find comparable sales in the Vancouver area. So our team has gone statewide to showcase the sales of comparable senior living facilities in the state. So please keep that in mind that these are located around the state. On page 10, like I said, you can see the locations of each of these comparables. But once again, we've got sales ranging from, let's see, the actual sale price per square feet, not the adjusted, ranging from $52 per square feet to $131 per square feet against the subject's current assessment of $158 per square foot. So just keeping that in mind, I'm going to do a high level overview of these comparables. I will not go through them one by one. But as you can see, we have included the CoStar reporting for each of these 8 comps. So that's where we're pulling the information from. And moving along to page 32 of our analysis includes the income that I was referencing earlier. And as you can see, net operating income has been negative for the past 3 years. So for year ends 2021 through 2023, there has been a negative operating income. I wish our team didn't include the cap rate and the indicated value information because I understand that that is irrelevant in Washington State. The purpose of providing this income is just once again to showcase that income is tough on this property. It is struggling. It has been operating in a negative manner for the past 3 historical years. So just something to keep in mind, but certainly not what we are basing our indication of value off of. And the remaining pages 33 through 45, include the actual income that we did receive from the client, the property owner, and then the rent rolls as well. And to conclude, we are requesting a value of $4,924,538, which is based off of that sales approach. And we have included that income as well. So that concludes my presentation.
And those are sales of actual senior living facilities?
I believe so, yes. And like I said, each CoStar page will showcase each comparable sale in deeper detail. So you can see, for instance, on, let's see, I'm just going to pick one randomly. On page 21 of our analysis, this shows like Olympic Alzheimer's residence. So we would assume that that is a senior living facility. And the reason we did not bring sales in the Vancouver area, I believe, is because we could not find comparables in the area that are of the same site classification.
So those sales are being sold as operating entities, is that correct?
I believe so. But unfortunately, I don't have, you know, the necessarily absolute answer for that question.
Okay. All right. Any questions? John or Joel?
No question. No, I'm just kind of surprised seeing that they're all over the state, but that's understandable too. So buyers come from all over the country, so that's all right.
Right. Got it. Understood. Thank you.
Okay. So Mary, tell us about this one.
Right. So this is a senior living facility. It's off 112th Avenue. The improvements were built in 2013, I should say 2013. And I'll make this one pretty quick. If you look at my, I gave you two Excel spreadsheets. One is market comparables. And I've provided 5 sales, in all of which are in Vancouver. Between January of 2021 and one that is as late as February of 2023. These are all in the local market area. There's really no need to look all over the state of Washington to find senior living facility sales. So we have a good solid market with 5 very similar properties price ranging between $239 a square foot and $433 per square foot. The subject property is assessed at $159 a square foot, way under the market range. The other sheet I provided you is, it's almost impossible to do an income approach on these properties. A comparable is not a comparable. If the assessor's office was privy to all of the books, which we always ask for, but we almost never receive, then you could do more of an individual style appraisal. But when you get into the senior living facilities, so many of them, the income is just huge. And then it turns out that, you know, 30% is Medicare and 28% is self-pay. And the books are too problematic for us to work out that. So you won't see an income approach, though I will talk about the income approach provided by the appellant. It looks pretty bleak. Bad management is not a fault of the real estate. And I don't know whether this is bad management. I can't tell you. Certainly, if it's losing $2 million every year, and it's forecast to lose $2 million every year, I'd get rid of it pretty quick. If you look at the numbers between page 32 and page 35 of the appellant's report, on page 32, I'll just give you a for instance. On page 32, it shows the year of 2023 with a net operating income of $1,241,427. But then you look at the appellant's page 35, and it gives you the 2023 net operating income of -$1,802,554. So their numbers don't match up. What they report on page 32 is not what they detail out on page 35. Again, if you...
Can I make a note on that?
Sure.
So just to reference, so we do include some reserves for replacements, if you will refer to our page 32. And you can see the asterisk there for the note. Reserves for replacements are not provided by the property owner there in addition to the actual income analysis. So that's just a baseline that we include in our packet, but it's not included on the actual income. So that's likely why you're seeing the difference there.
Wouldn't that make it go the other direction?
It's a negative number, so I think that's why.
But the loss on page 35 is a negative $1,000,008 and your sheet is $1,000,002.
Right.
Something else.
Okay.
Some other animal hanging.
Oh, you know what? We did less bad debt and mortgage interest. I believe we took the bad debt and mortgage interest out because those are not related to real estate expenses.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're still six. I mean, you're missing $600,000 between the 2 years. So,
even with the bad debt and the mortgage expense, did you consider that?
It down to roughly $400,000 difference. So,
okay, yeah, well, if it is a...
I'm sorry, there's going to be many numbers in there. I would not rely on this income approach. That's all I'm saying is and Hannah said it too, that they're not really relying on the income approach either. I was really trying to explain that these senior facilities, their net operating income can include, oh my gosh, there are so many programs out there that it is almost impossible to figure out what's going on. And every single one of them is different. So we agree with not using the income approach. Lastly, I'd go back to, I provided you a cost approach. So you've got the sales comparison. The cost approach is in there. The cost approach would indicate a value way above what we have on this property. This is just a simple, we did not use the cost approach to value this property strictly as it is. This is I don't want to say, when we get out the appeal, we go in for 2023, we do a new cost approach based on exactly the information we have as of 1/1 of 23. The parcel valuation is lower than this because it was not brought up to the current year. That was really confusing. I didn't mean it to be. So rely on the sales comparison approach and the fact that we provided really good comps that indicate our $159 a square foot is very low.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
Mary, would you mind, are the comps that provided the five comparables, are those all senior living facilities? Or are they apartments?
All but one. No, they're all senior living. Every one of them, except okay. comparable number two.
Okay, comparable number two is a conventional office. Apartment.
Comparable number two is actually a, I don't know what the PC term is. It's, a place where people who have, I'm on recording, people who have
mental health
go and okay. they, but it's set up like that. It's apartments. It's a stay over kind of thing. So the building okay. itself, the actual use is not senior care, but the building itself would lend itself to senior care. The comparables okay. 1, 3, 4, and 5 are all senior care facilities.
Okay. Thank you for confirming that.
I have a question, just a question for Mary on this thing. How come you're so far, your sales grid, you're not even close on your estimate of value based on what you've got for sales? So how reliable on a real comparison basis do you feel those sales are?
Really, the senior living is very difficult for our office. It's, I think as an appraiser, you'll get it. So the we can't value any intangibles. So let's say we have a place like Bonaventure. They're kind of a nationwide. So we need to, remove intangibles from them, the business, value. We also have a heavy amount of personal property in these facilities. And so we're not talking millions of dollars usually, but more like a hotel. So you've got a few $100,000 worth of personal property. And so we as an office are not equipped to run through the market sales and then try to extract from each facility whether there's intangibles, how much personal property would be involved. We just don't have enough manpower. So,
wait a minute. I've heard that argument over and over and over again, that you don't have any manpower, your manpower. But I'm looking at this, and you've got your five sales down here that range from what, 239 a square foot to 433 a square foot. You picked the number of 159 to use on this property. And I guess I'm wondering why. Where'd the 159 come from? Not from those sales.
It would have been from Marshall and Swift from the year that
I wish you'd have said so. Instead, you gave me sales that show that you actually made a very favorable appraisal of this piece of property, but there's no substantiation for why you did that. So...
Well, I could go back and I could do a retro on what the property was worth on January. This property did not increase in value. So I'd have to go back and do a retrospective of this is what the assessed value was and why it was that years ago.
It appears to have gone up $500,000 for the year, but this doesn't seem to balance at all, but that's okay.
All right, any other questions, comments? You have anything else, Anna?
I do not, thank you.
Okay, let's close that hearing.
This is the February 22nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 413 for property ID 18657905. The property address is 13315 Northeast 12th Ave, and the property is owned by Vancom One LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells here for the assessor's office, and we have Hannah Eveleth here for the appellant. If you could both please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property or your client's property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if it doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you, Hannah, to tell us about this property.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Feel free to stop me if anybody has any questions along the way. The subject is a KinderCare daycare center located on 13 through 15 Northeast 12th Avenue in Vancouver. Moving on, I'm assuming everyone has a copy of our analysis. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Awesome. Moving on to page two, we have included the historical values here and the methodology that we will be relying on today will be the cost approach. Our cost approach indicates a value of roughly $1.8 million against the current assessment of $2.7 million. Moving along to page three, we have included property.
Hold on. That isn't the right numbers, are they?
The values that we ask for on the appeal forms are oftentimes different than what we present on. So just a heads up, they probably will all be different.
Well, I'm looking at your presentation. I mean, the
$1 million. On page two, the requested value, $1,897,909. That's
correct.
Not you're seeing.
It's 1,994,087.
That's interesting. Let me check on something.
The right docket number, 413.
I'm looking at 413 parcel number, and the parcel number on the front page is that 186579-005. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. One second. You know what? I might have had the wrong tax year here. Back up. I'm not entirely sure why that would be different. What I have says that number. I'm not sure where that evidence is coming from that you have, unfortunately.
That's the evidence we
have. I only have what's in front of me. Okay. I unfortunately don't have that. Let me take a screenshot of that so I can send that to my group. That's the wrong value. The 2.9 million, correct? Is that?
This is for
the current assessment is.
So this is what I received for case 413. And we have the estimate at 1994.
Okay. Unfortunately, this is inconsistent with. Got it. This is not what I have on file, unfortunately. Let me just make sure. Okay. I think I found the right copy. I am so sorry. Not sure what happened there, but I think I've got the right one now that says 1.9 million. So bear with me. I am looking at the right copy. Okay. Sorry about that. All right. So again, we're using cost. Our indication of value is 1.9 million roughly. And hopefully that coincides to what you are all looking at. Moving along to page number three, we have included some building characteristics here. This subject was built in 2001. It has about 10,000 square feet of rentable area and sits on 1.36 acres of land. Once again, we are utilizing the cost approach. And moving along to pages 4 through 7, I believe, or 4 through 8, we have some visual representations of the property. We have included a Google map, as well as 2 aerial snapshots of the parcel maps, and some building photos as well. We've included some exterior photos of the building, as well as some interior photos of various classrooms and common area. If you will follow along with me to page 12 of our analysis, this will take us to the bulk of our cost approach here. Once again, we are considering the 10,143 square feet of area. We are considering an effective year built of 2003 against the actual year built of 2001. We are also considering a C average classification. Our approach has considered the current and local multipliers that are showed in the Marshall and Swift data that we have provided as well. A 30% depreciation factor, which is based off of the Marshall and Swift data. And we have also included an extra features assumption of $100,000, and that's just a catch-all estimate for anything that our baseline cost approach may have missed. And we have also included an entrepreneurial profit assumption of 5%. All this together indicates a replacement cost new for the improvement of roughly $1.5 million. We are also including some land sales, and that will indicate an adjusted land value of $427,000 roughly, and I will go into that in a moment. Those two values together is where we arrive at our indicated value of roughly $1.9 million. Pages 13.
I want to make sure we're talking about the same number. It's almost $2
million. Yeah.
$1,994,000
$1,994,000 That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Okay. And then pages 13 through, I believe that's 17, show the Marshall and Swift cost data, which we are pulling our information from. And then moving along to page 18, we have included 4 separate land sales. And I think page 19 probably does a better job of showing the summary of those land sales because we've got a, aerial map there. You can see the subject notated by the blue star. And you can see the sales of land that we are utilizing, placed around the subject. The subject's land is valued at, $14 per square feet. We have provided sales that have occurred from, it looks like, 68 cents per square feet to 12.49 cents per square feet. We have also made adjustments based off of the land size and the location. So we've made adjustments there. Unfortunately, I can't speak on those adjustments from an exact standpoint. Those are estimates based off of an assumption of land size, and then also the location. If you look at our map of the comps on page 19, we have made adjustments upward to all of these sales at 5% in an attempt to
Would you repeat the values that you came up with for land values?
They would be on the bottom. So if you refer to page 18, you can see the adjusted per square foot land values right above the average adjusted, the highlighted area. Do you see that?
Yeah. I just want you to, because I think I have different numbers than you spoke about.
Yes, those are the actual, so the ones that I spoke on were above. They were the unadjusted sale prices above. If you can see that dollar per square foot line item above adjustments, that's what I was referring to. And then we have since made adjustments, down below. And what we have done is taken an average of those adjusted per square foot sale prices to indicate the adjusted land value.
What's your average?
$7.21 per square foot.
No, that's not what I have. I have $10.67. Oh, I'm sorry. Down below you have it.
The highlighted area, sir.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
Okay. So that's how we arrived at the land value. And then the following pages, page 19 through, it looks like page 28, we have just included the CoStar sale reporting for those land sales. And that is where we are getting our information from. And then finally on page 29 to conclude, our cost approach with the Marshall and Swift data, indicating the replacement cost new for the improvement, as well as the associated land sales, indicates a total value of $1,994,087. And that does complete our presentation.
Can you tell me your reasoning why there is, why are you using the cost basis as opposed to a market basis or income approach?
We find that daycare centers, and this will be a common theme throughout all of our packets today, because I think we have a couple of kinder care daycare centers on the docket here, and we have used a very similar approach for all. We find that these daycare centers are unique in their site class. So if I could draw your attention, let's see what page this is. It'd be 4 or 5. Page 7 of our analysis. You can see the subject, is located in almost a very residential area. And with daycare centers, a lot of times we will see, these types of properties, looking pretty close to single family residential houses, although they are commercial, properties with, you know, parking lots, and they are businesses. But we find them to be unique, and difficult to compare outside of their own site class. So that is why we utilize the cost approach in our analysis, because we believe that that is the most indicative of the subject and its associated components.
Okay. All right. Any questions, John or
no questions?
Joel?
No, I don't have any questions on it. Thank you.
Okay, Mary, you want to talk about this one?
Sure. Okay. So we're looking at a daycare. The subject property is a daycare that is in Salmon Creek area, and I want to speak a little bit to it appearing to be the residential area.
You're fading out. You faded out. You're still faded.
Better?
No, can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, shoot. And then I pushed it up.
No. No.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Ugh. All right. Well, we'll hope it holds. I'm not touching anything, and it keeps going off. All right. So we are looking at a daycare that is sitting in Salmon Creek. About, I want to talk a little bit about it being in a residential area. It's actually half a mile, quarter of a mile. I haven't ever measured it off the I-5 freeway. By restaurants and a Minute Mart and gas stations. It's really not. It's a true commercial property. We have the same essential characteristics. I don't think we have any discrepancies on the size of the structure. We've got a little bit of discrepancy on the description of the structure. If you look on page 3 of my report, actually, this is Greg Peterson's report. I'm just presenting for him. On page 3, you'll see a map of where the subject is and the I-5 and the 205 freeways right there. Directly east is a mini storage. Then there's some two strip malls and a restaurant around the property. Page 4 is the use path compliance, intended users. We don't really need to discuss 4 or 5 or 6. And we'll go on to the land valuation. And Greg has presented 4 land sales of similar properties, similar parcels in Clark County. The ranges of the sales are from $14.73 a square foot to $19.13 a square foot. The subject is valued at $14 a square foot. We provide a very brief cost approach, but the cost approach was performed, but no weight given to it in this report because of the age of the improvements, and we feel that investors are most likely to buy these types of properties based on the income stream, and that is what they would rely on most when purchasing the property. On page 9, you'll find the income approach. We have 4 comparable daycares with reported incomes, as you'll see in the chart. Our subject is the top one highlighted in yellow. And then we see rent dollars per square foot for comparables 1 through 4. Those dollars per square foot running from $23.52 to $26.04 a square foot based on a triple net lease. Then we provide at the bottom of page 9 4 sales that we have information on where we could derive a cap rate. And our cap rate is anywhere from 5.94 to 7.32. So those are the cap rates we find in the market. In our income approach, we're using 7.5. The higher the cap rate, obviously, the more generous we're being on the value, the lower the value will be.
There's income approach provided on page 10, where we are using $1.85 monthly for income, a 5% vacancy in collection, 12% operating expenses, which would be considered generous on a triple net lease. On a triple net lease, a true triple net, the owner is not paying for anything the leasee is. You can follow it along to our net operating income, which, you know, I do apologize. It's about as small as it comes, $188,097 annually with a 7.5 cap rate. Brings all the numbers forward to an indicated income value of $2,507,960. The reason that you see the difference between the $8,000, which is a rounded number. Then, because the parcel hadn't been, this is always the hard one to explain, the parcel hadn't been reappraised, it received a statistical adjustment with the rest of the properties in the area for a market increase.
Is that basically an increase in market values or in real estate values? Is that how that's based? Because no one could ever explain that to me before.
Yeah, because we only physically do parcels in the commercial department once every 4 years. In the in-between years, we'll give it a market adjustment, especially in a market like we've been seeing that's had such heavy increases. Rather than once every 4 years bumping up a parcel 30%, we try to keep up with the market annually, which is what the state has asked us. I mean, we are supposed to keep all properties at 100% of market each year.
Yep. Okay.
So that's what that is. Then Greg provides a sales comparison approach. He has three sales in the area. His indicated square foot value range on the sales is between $204 a square foot and $376 a square foot. The subject property was listed in the sales grid. It sold on December 27th of 2019 for $376.73 per square foot. The assessment that we're defending is $286.23 a square foot. So based on the sales and the sales of the subject, $290 a square foot is considered conservative. Greg gives you a reconciliation of values towards the bottom and asks for the board to sustain the current assessed value. It's been a while since I've been in a hearing. Do you want me to briefly talk about the appellant's approach, or do you?
Yeah, I want to ask a question about yours first. The $1.85 you used on the income approach, if I did my calculation right, that's roughly $2,220 per year, which compares to, on the previous page, on page 9, to those that range from 23 to 26, but you're using 2220. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Yes. If you have comments on the appellants.
Okay. I have a few. I'm gonna start with that these are not necessarily wrong. These are not really unique structures. They're easily converted into office and other uses. They're not overly large. They're not overly specialized. The appellant provides a cost approach that is flawed in quite a few ways. I'll point out that the building is not a Class C building. A Class C building is a masonry building, according to Marshall and Swift. This is a stick-built building It's a Class D building. So class where do you go?
D is a dog.
D is a dog, which is the description for wood framed buildings. It may be a simple mistake in that it's a plywood exterior that's sprayed with a texture to make it look like it's stuccoed, but it's not a masonry building. So we start with the wrong cost tables. Again, you guys, sorry, everybody hears me say it a million times. There is no perimeter multiplier. There is no current, there is a current cost multiplier. There's no wall height, modifier. There's nothing for sprinklers and heating. And so using a really simplistic approach, if you do not add for all of the elements of the building, you cannot come up with the correct cost approach. Then I'll make it really brief, but I'd like to talk about the land comparables. The appellant's comparable number one is a split parcel up by Vancouver Mall Drive, and it's being reported here as a sale for $849,000. In July of 2023, so 7 months past the assessment date, but it sold July of 2021 for $1,050,000. The $1,050,000, I didn't verify the 7/7/23, but the $1,050,000 would equate to $15.45 a square foot. Land sale number two is being reported here at $145,000 for the 5 acres. The sale on 1/27/23 was actually a $0 transaction, but there was a sale of that property on 1/21/2021, and it sold for $1,620,000. So that's the appellant sale number two. Sale number three was a sale out of an estate to a church, and we're not sure exactly what happened there, but it's considered exempt from almost everything because of that. And sale number four is up in the Covington area, south of the feed store, and it's a lot in a residential area, zone commercial. I don't really take a whole lot of issue with it, but except that it has very little exposure. And I will say that Orchards is not Salmon Creek. So the appellants from out of the area, they wouldn't necessarily know that. But if you look at the appellant's map, you'll see that they're not very close in to the subject. And I think that's all that I have for our end.
Okay. Any comments from you, Hannah, on the appellant side?
No, I do not have any. Thank you for the further detail.
Okay. Anybody have any other questions?
No, sir.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Close that hearing.